Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Doing great, bro.
Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome in the Lord.
Well, praise God. We are really excited, as always, to be back with you doing another show. But with this one, it is somewhat, I don't want to say somber, because we always have the joy of the Lord, you know, and I always have that feeling that Paul had where he was sorrowful yet always rejoicing. So whenever you see stuff like this, I try not to let it get me too upset, but it's always worse when you know, you can see the writing on the walls and then you see it come to fruition. You know, recently I remember somebody asked us what would happen to 501c3 churches if they didn't adhere to LGBT laws or something, you know, that were put forth. Like, what do I think that's going to happen? And I said, the very first thing that'll happen to 501c3s is that if you do preach against homosexuality, I believe that they will take that status away. And that's my personal view. And that's just what I said. You can go look. It's on one of the comments on our YouTube channel. And I said that a few months ago. And then, of course, what would happen in this presidential series of debates from the liberal side? All you hear is, how can I be more liberal, more socialist? Who is more, you know, for reparations? Who is more for abortion? And how late can that abortion be? How long and can we murder babies? How, you know, I'm wondering who gets to go to 2 years old, when that's going to happen, you know, because it just seems like just absolute, just a clown show. I mean, sadly, we're not even going to play this clip, but I watched a 9-year-old come up and ask Elizabeth Warren questions, and the 9-year-old was, quote-unquote, a transgender young child. A 9-year-old transitioning from a girl to a boy. It's absolutely just heartbreaking. And Elizabeth Warren with
so sad,
just sitting there smiling, and yay, it broke my heart. That's child abuse. I don't care what you want to paint it, you know, in your mind. That's child abuse. And it's absolutely heartbreaking. And I hate to see it. I hate to see that. But the clip we're going to be talking about is a clip by Beto O'Rourke. Beto. And he decided that he was going to come out and say what he wanted to do to churches and organizations and schools that don't adhere to the LGBT communistic movement. Can you, Tony, play that clip?
Ask you a question.
This is from your LGBTQ plan, and here's what you write. This is a quote. Freedom of religion is a fundamental right, but it should not be used to discriminate. Do you think religious institutions like colleges, churches, charities, should they lose their tax-exempt status if they oppose same-sex marriage?
Yes. There can be no reward, no benefit, no tax break for anyone or any institution, any organization in America that denies the full human rights and the full civil rights of every single one of us. And so as president, we're going to make that a priority, and we are going to stop those who are infringing upon the human rights of our fellow Americans.
Congressman, thank you.
Right here.
We're going to stop those from infringing, and so we're going to infringe. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, it's amazing because what happened to, you know, we have the First Amendment, right, which is the freedom of religion. We have the freedom of speech that's been supposedly guaranteed to us, right? People don't realize what's going on all around us right now, especially with these far-left progressives, and they've kind of hijacked the Democratic Party. And it's already a lot of severe problems with the Democratic Party because you have, you know, the pro-gay marriage agenda and pro-murder 60-plus million babies in our country. A lot of problems already, but now you're at a point where these guys are basically wanting to strip churches of their tax-exempt status. You know, pastors still pay taxes and everything else, but churches historically, for a long time now, have been able to, because they help so many people in the public. They reach out to so many of the homeless. They reach out to people who are hurting. They better society in so many ways. So they have had this tax exempt status. But of course, the enemy wants to weaken the church as much as possible. However, I have a kind of a strange belief here. I honestly believe that this would backfire if this happens in time, because, you know, one of these guys that has this type of view becomes leadership and this kind of takes over. This view prevails within Democratic-led Congress and Senate eventually, and a president that's, you know, far left liberal. You know what? The church tends to do better and be more pure often when it's persecuted.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that, you know, churches that will have to cry out to God more to get their bills paid and seek Him more and fall on their faces, and there'll be churches that will compromise in mass, you know, maybe to get a tax exempt status of some sort or something where you're alienated and you don't get the tax exempt status if you don't accept homosexuality into your church and homosexual teachers and so forth at your, you know, Christian schools and what have you. And you know what? God's going to make it clearer and clearer. The Bible says it's going to get darker, you know, that lawlessness will increase and, you know, and so forth. But it says the light will get brighter and brighter too, the scriptures say. So I believe as things get closer to the end, it's going to be more obvious who the real Christians are. So I don't say, hey, bring it on. I say, you know what, Lord, your will be done. But we live in a fallen world. This is, we don't live in a Christian nation. Let's just be honest. You know, we live in a nation that is, you know, we've never been founded on, we've been founded on, you know, documents that don't expressly state that Jesus is Lord and everybody will follow Jesus. No, we are founded upon documents where we have the freedom of religion, but the freedoms that we have been squandered a lot often in the church, unfortunately. And right now, there will be more and more oppressed. But it's just interesting seeing this coming down the pike from someone like Beto. You have a lot of antichrist out there that hate Christ. He's a serious problem. Pray for that guy, because that guy's toast right now. I mean, he's leading people away from God, against God's word. And these people are in serious trouble. And we need to pray for everybody in our country. We need to pray for the leadership of our country as the scriptures command, not just for the president, but for the leaders of Congress, the Senate, the local, you know, civic leaders and so forth. It's all very important. But let's keep in mind, Jesus said things would get worse. So we're not here to build the utopia and build the kingdom of God on earth. Christ is coming with his kingdom, and he will establish his reign when the thousand-year reign begins at his second coming. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus, but let's also take a stand for what's true and what's right, and also be thankful for the freedoms that we've had and not take them for granted, and stand up and make sure that we make our voices heard.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's really heartbreaking is that we do have all these freedoms, and I just want to, you know, give this out as some encouragement, is the fact that we have the freedom to go out and share the gospel freely, the fact that we have the ability to go and tell people about Jesus right on the streets. I mean, you think about what's going on in China and in Hong Kong with all the protests, and you think about a lot of the countries, you know, where it's illegal to have a Bible, where it's illegal to have church and all these things. And yet the gospel's flourishing there, and I point to that as you spoke about earlier. You know, it was Tertullian, the early church father, who spoke about them trying to mow down the Christians, and what he wrote was that the blood of the Christians was the seed, and where persecution took place, that's where the church most flourished. That's simply that. To me, when I read the scriptures, that seems to be like the hotbed, okay? That seems to be the greenhouse when it comes to the Christian church, and people growing and following Christ seems to be when persecution comes at them the most. And so while we may see it as a detriment, a lot of times it'll be a blessing, because a lot of people are on their hands, and a lot of people... Guys, I'm just going to be honest. Go down to the Bible Belt. Go down to a lot of these places in Texas and see where their faith really is. They have a Sunday church that they go to. They also have a Saturday night rodeo they get drunk at. You know, they also have...
It's often a cultural form of Christianity.
Exactly. Right? It's this cultural idea that you've been born into it. And hey, I'm only speaking about this from my own personal testimony, because I grew up in here in America in a conservative home, right? But guess what? I was twice the child of the devil, because I simply figured I was a Christian because I was born into it, and because that's what you believe as an American if you're a Republican. And eventually I killed that idol that didn't actually exist. And so that's one of the things, you know, that Joe was mentioning in that. And I would say we have this freedom to share the gospel. We're doing a podcast right now that is going to air on Antichrist Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all of these places that absolutely do not want the gospel on there, let's be honest. But yet, guess what? We're doing it freely to this point. And that's why That's why I've been able to talk Joe into sitting down for hours on a mic, even though he's got a church to pastor and all these things, because we say, hey, how much time do we have left? We have 105,000 subscribers on YouTube. How long are we going to be able to sit there and share our faith openly? How long are we going to be able to say, what does the Bible actually say about homosexuality and practicing homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God? How long are we going to be able to say that? And when you have the voices of Beto screaming and echoing to you, this is what's coming. You hear the train coming. You see the light on that train getting ready to hammer. I think it's more or less us. We need to be ready.
That's right, Chad. He's not the only one. He's not the only politician among those ready for president that's speaking this way, almost to a person. You know, they're making similar statements. Booker just came out and, you know, he's running for president and he's talking about how, you know, private professing Christian schools ought to be accepting homosexuality in their schools, homosexual clubs and so forth.
And you know what? Let me actually read that quote, because it's worse than that's just what he's saying. But let's do the same thing as Pete Buttigieg is doing, right? Where let's twist the scripture to just mangle it however we want to say, including to the place of pro-choice, as Mr. Buttigieg in every sense. You can't even be a liberal candidate without wanting the murder of babies. But here we go. This is what he said. This is what Booker said. He said, quote, it said in Micah, what do you want from your Lord? But what is it to you? Want from you, or you want from your people, which is to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. Walk humbly. And so for me, I cannot follow, or I cannot allow as a leader that people are going to use religion as a justification for discrimination. I can respect your religious views, but also protect people from discrimination. My faith, as well as my American values, will make me fight on every front to make sure that people are not discriminating against someone because of who they are. So is that what, you know, Joe, I got to ask you as a pastor, is that the meaning of Micah 6:8?
Yeah, Micah 6:7 and 8, to do justly, love mercy, walk humbly before thy God. It's interesting. We used that verse years ago. We did a men's retreat up in the Sequoia Mountains. So beautiful up there. Go there pretty much every year. And sometimes we have a memory verse for all the men. And I gave this one out, Micah 6:7 and 8. Do justly, you know, this is, you know, basically it's God's will for you. So do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before thy God. And, you know, I gave everybody a marble. I said, every time you ask a person that, if they don't have it, they have to give up their marble. And whoever has the most marbles at the end wins. Of course, they made a game out of it. You couldn't imagine how quickly these guys that thought they could memorize scripture began memorizing the word of God, you know. One thing that did happen, the guy that had the most marbles at the end, because nobody could take his marble and he was just, you know, ambitious, he didn't come to the conclusion and say, hey, Joe, by the way, memorizing that verse and meditating on it last couple of days at this men's retreat has made me realize that homosexuality, I should accept it. Never came to that conclusion, and nobody would come to that conclusion from that verse. You have to practice what Booker's doing, which is eisegesis, which is instead of exegesis, you need to read that into the text. When he talks about doing justly means to do what's right. Who defines what's right? God does. Amen? And to love mercy means to be merciful on somebody who isn't, you know, is needs mercy. But it doesn't mean to accept sin. We're supposed to, the scriptures talk about how we're supposed to love the sinner. Jesus said, even love your enemies, but hate the sin. Scriptures say we're supposed to hate sin. We're supposed to hate evil. So it's interesting. Yeah, Booker also said that it means to, he feels it means that we're to not allow people to discriminate in our schools, in education, in healthcare, and globally. And by discrimination, he means, because this came in the context of him speaking against a Catholic school that and a gal that wanted to, you know, wanted to join a Catholic school and then impose upon them a gay club within this all-girl Catholic school. And we're not Roman Catholics, and we believe that Roman Catholics need to understand the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But by way of extension, he would like to see all the evangelical Christian schools throughout the nation accept homosexuality and gay clubs into their schools. Otherwise, he called them discriminatory. And when you look at this and what's going on with what you mentioned, Chad, from Beto, and then you see this from a Booker and the direction our country is going in, it's really heartbreaking. But it's also, you know, something we need to make sure as Christians we're praying and we're standing up for truth, because where do you draw the line? And when he's saying that this is because he says, hey, I went to Stanford, you know, hey, I'm a Christian. All these guys claim to be Christians. Isn't that amazing? Because they want the Christian vote often is the reason why they say that. I'm not going to judge his heart, but I'm going to judge what he says based on scripture. And his
foul mouth, too, by the way.
Yeah, for sure. And he's totally taking scripture out of context. And the scriptures are really clear that Leviticus 18:22 says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." Now, some will say, well, that's in the Old Testament. Yeah, but it's also in the New Testament over and over again. In fact, when you put the Old Testament and New Testament passages together, and some think there's just five or six, there's way more than that. You have a whole army of passages and scriptures that speak against homosexuality. To do right is to do by God's word. You know, the scriptures say that sin is transgression of God's law. You know, unrighteousness, all sin is unrighteousness. So when we break God's word, you know, we're committing sin. So Micah chapter 6, verses 7-8, when it says, "He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly." That means to do what's right, to love mercy and to walk humbly before your God. What does it mean to do justly? It means to do according to God's will. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 warns, don't be deceived. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it includes homosexuals in the list, the effeminate, and so forth. 1 Timothy 1 says that those who commit homosexual acts are lawbreakers. The book of Jude warns about those who in Sodom and Gomorrah went after strange flesh and suffered the judgment of eternal fire. God toasted two cities because they were overrun with pride and laziness and homosexuality. And in Romans 1, I mean, it spells it out, you know, men with men, you know, receiving in themselves, women with women too, lesbianism, receiving in their bodies a due penalty for their perversion. God gave them over to depraved minds to dishonor their bodies with one another, the same sex thing. Paul condemns men with men and women with women. He spells it out. Now, guess what? I can go to the text and say, wow, you know, it's real clear here that homosexuality is wrong. That's being humble. Being proud is saying, well, it looks like God's condemning homosexuality here. But you know what? I want to be on the in crowd. I want to go to the gay parade, or I have feelings for a man. You know, you might even have feelings for a boy. Does that make the feelings right? You can have all kinds of weird feelings. The Bible talks about unnatural affections and how there can be, you can have unnatural affections. If you have affections that are contrary to God's word, you start having feelings for, if you're a 50-year-old man or a 90-year-old man or a 70-year-old man or a 50-year-old woman, and you're having lustful thoughts for a 2-year-old child, some even raping little babies, 3-4 months old, it's just sick. Just because you have a feeling doesn't mean it's right. So, and people, a lot of people admit that, well, that's wrong. Well, how do we know where we draw the line? From God's word. So we have to do justly. So when I look at Micah chapter 6, 7, and 8, it tells me not to twist God's word in my pride and arrogance to make it line up with what I feel. I have to submit to what God says. Humility, you know, to love, to do justly, to walk, you know, to love, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly before the God. He says, he translates, uses translation that says love kindness. Is it kind to tell a homosexual everything's okay? Do you know homosexuals, the mortality rate is way under the average for mortality rate. It's a death sentence from the time a person starts acting out with homosexual acts. But scripturally, they won't inherit God's kingdom. So if you know the scripture and Mr. Booker is truly a Christian and he knows that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God, he truly believes what Jesus taught about how most people are going through the broad path to destruction, kindness would be to say, hey, you know, you may be offended by these words, but hey, I love you and you can't go this route. I've had to tell people that I know in my life that I've seen go that route in the past. Some, praise God, I've seen repent and turn back to Jesus or turn to Jesus for the first time. There's a couple I've seen that have just, you know, gone the wrong way, but I have to love them enough. It's kindness isn't saying, you know what, I'll just ignore that they're headed toward the eternal fire. That's not kindness. Kindness says, man, you're headed to the eternal fire. You got to turn. You got to repent. So when we think of what the scriptures say regarding in Micah, actually the scripture he mentions supports basically bowing before what God has said on any subject matter and not continuing in it and definitely not imposing. Can you imagine? You take a verse, you twist out of context, and then you try to get all the schools throughout America to accept homosexuality in the name of claiming that you're a Christian. I'm sorry, this guy is in huge trouble. He's a false teacher because he's quoting scripture. He's twisting it. So Booker is just not only a bad candidate now, now he's a false teacher leading people to hell. This is serious. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What is Booker going to say? Jesus, Jesus, wasn't I the one that became president and got all the Christian churches and the schools to accept homosexuality? That's not going to fly with Jesus, you know, and God forbid, you know. Anyway, it's really hard because being a Christian today, though, Jesus said, they'll hate you because of my name. You'll be hated in all nations because of my name. And you look at that, when I first became a Christian, I saw a very anti-Christian spirit in Hollywood when I was a brand new Christian. In the music industry, I've been exposing it for years. But not so much in the public square. You didn't see it blathered from the, you know, from the political pundits at the top. They claim to be Christians. Many of them do today. As I mentioned, Booker, Hillary Clinton, you know, so many of these folks claim to be Christians. But they twist God's word. They speak against what God has actually said. But now Christian speech is considered, Christians saying, hey, you need to get right with God. You need to repent of sin and get right and be cleansed by the blood of Jesus so you can be accepted. We're all sinners. We need his grace. That's hate speech. That's hate speech. Wow, Jesus. You're basically saying Jesus was a hater and Jesus was guilty of hate speech because we're proclaiming his gospel. And Sodom and Gomorrah probably felt that the message of the angels was hate speech, you know, but they had to repent and they didn't, and it got worse. And the speech to repent that we're called to proclaim is really ultimately loving. Would it be right of Booker to say, you know what, there needs to be pro-pedophile clubs in Christian schools now, and we need to obey Micah chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Show thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly before your God. And that means we need to accept pedophile clubs. That would be ludicrous. That'd be absolutely ridiculous. But it's also ridiculous to say you need to accept homosexual clubs at your schools and allow people to draw people and seduce them into homosexuality at Christian schools. It's just, I can't get my brain around it, but I recognize we're dealing with a demonic spirit. And I think it's important to understand that other part, which you probably should deal with. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to what? Walk what?
Humbly.
Humbly before your God. What does it mean to walk humbly? It means to obey the word of God. What does God say on a subject? I just rattled off several different passages where he condemns homosexuality. So to walk humbly before him, I need to be obedient to what he says. In fact, let me give you a few examples of that. Jesus is the greatest example of obedience. Jesus in Philippians 2:8, Paul wrote of Jesus, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus' humility brought him to the point where he obeyed the will of the Father. We read in chapter 66, verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. I'll get to that in a minute. But this is Jesus when he did humble himself to the point of death. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face. And he prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. That's humility. Humility is doing the will of the Father. Jesus humbled himself, it says, and became obedient to death. Proverbs 22, 4 and 5 says, obey the Lord, be humble. You catch that? Obey the Lord, be humble, and you will get riches, honor, and a long life. If you love your life, stay away from the traps that catch the wicked along the way. The scriptures say in Isaiah 66, what I mentioned earlier, but on this one I will look. One who is poor and contrite in spirit, who trembles at my word. If Booker really wants to claim to be obeying Micah 6, 7, and 8, he needs to tremble before God's word when he speaks about how homosexuals not inherit God's kingdom. He needs to say, wow, look at what his word says here. Wow, you know, God, you are right. I'm wrong. Forgive me for trying to impose my will on America in the name of Christ and make them accept homosexuality in Christian schools. That would be true humility, you know? James 4 talks about true humility, and it's obedient humility. It's not being spiritual adulterers or adulteresses and becoming one with what the world system says. Because the world, you know, is energized by Satan. The scriptures say that Satan's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works through the children of disobedience, and he guides the course of this world in Ephesians chapter 2. James 4 says this, you adulteresses, because we're the church, we're the bride of Christ. And if we put the world before him and we fall in love with the world, we're committing spiritual adultery. He says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So Booker is making himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scriptures speak to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us. He gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God. See what the humble do? Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. So Jesus was offered the kingdom of this world by Satan to bow down and worship him so he could get the kingdoms of this world. Well, guess what? Booker is saying, hey, you know what? I want to become president of the most powerful country in the world. And he's compromising what he claims to. He claims to be a Christian, claims to know scripture, and he's doing it for the sake of being, to be accepted among all the progressives and the liberals and what's popular in the world. But in doing so, he's not only disobeying scripture, but he's become a false teacher, a false prophet of sorts. And Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, great verses as far as humility goes. You know, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is important for all of us, guys, all of us, the three of us talking here, our audience that, you know, we love you guys. We praise God for a devoted audience to God and that, and the Lord, so we can fellowship together, encourage one another. But it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Not in some of your ways or most, in all your ways. And it says that he'll make our path straight. So we're supposed to trust him and acknowledge him in all our ways and lean not on your own understanding, but all your ways we're supposed to lean on him. Fear the Lord, hate evil, Proverbs 8:13. Pride, I hate pride and arrogance, even behavior and perverse speech. The opposite of humility is pride, and it's not called the gay humble parades. They're called the gay pride parades because it's proud, it's arrogant, it's saying we're going to do our own will. It's in opposition to God's will. And the Bible says pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall, in Proverbs 16:18. Therefore, guess what? As genuine brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to make sure we're nothing like the Westboro Baptists who believe that Jesus only died for the elect and say that God hates gays and they put it in a much more crude way. We need to realize that it's far more likely that a homosexual repents and gets right with Jesus and goes to heaven than those that are part of the Westboro movement, because they're just filled with hatred and anger and this exclusive elitist kind of twisted gospel where it's just about them and they hate on everybody. That's not us. We love those who are in the homosexual community enough to say, hey, guess what? It's not popular to say what we're saying, but we're saying it anyway. Because guess what? They crucified our Lord, and we love our Lord Jesus Christ, and he was crucified for your sins. He died, he rose again, and we want to see you enter the kingdom of heaven. So we're going to say, hey, you know what? We're going to proclaim the truth as long as this spiritual battle is going on, because we care about you, and we want to see you in heaven.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.